to implement its resolutions on Kashmiris' right to self-determination and end what they called the bloodshed in the Indian-administered Jammu and Kashmir.
Observance of Solidarity Day on February 5 is proof of Pakistan's continued support for Kashmiris. We will never accept India's occupation of Jammu and Kashmir and will continue our struggle for the independence of the Kashmiri people.
The purpose of celebrating the day is to renew the pledge that the people of Pakistan will continue to provide moral, political, and diplomatic support to their Kashmiri brothers and sisters until the independence of Indian-occupied Kashmir.
Kashmir, a Muslim-majority region, is divided into Indian and Pakistani sections, but claimed by both in full. The Kashmir dispute has led to several wars between the nuclear-armed rivals since Pakistan's independence in 1947.
The United Nations should play its role in ending the decades-long sufferings of Kashmiris who are struggling for their right to self-determination. The world should urge India to hold composite and meaningful dialogues with all the stakeholders to resolve the dispute.
Relations between India and Pakistan worsened in 2019 when the Indian government revoked Article 370 of the Indian Constitution, which granted Indian-administered Kashmir partial autonomy.
Islamabad has long argued that Kashmir should have acceded to Pakistan because of its Muslim majority population. However, the court response from India in this regard has put the matter on hold. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Islamic Revolution, Thriving and Persistent. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, these days mark the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. Iran's Islamic Revolution was, in a sense, the greatest event of the 20th century as it changed equations and balance of power throughout the world. This revolution revived religious thought and clearly showed that politics should be accompanied by religion if politicians and statesmen in the world truly want to serve human values and rule with justice. The Islamic Revolution challenged many axioms and dogmas on politics, society, and administration of human life. However, Imam Khomeini neither founded his revolution on the Western liberalist patterns, nor did he accept the Eastern socialist structures. Stay tuned for the details, please. The Islamic Republic of Iran described all parts of the ruling system and socio-political structure of governance on the basis of Islam. In such circumstances, big powers, particularly the US and the former Soviet Union, despite differences, got united and did whatever they could to destroy or bring the Islamic Republic to its knees. The climax of this cooperation was seen during the eight-year war they imposed on Iran through their surrogate, Saddam Hussein of Iraq. But all their plots backfired, and they have always been frustrated. The Soviet Union collapsed in early 1990s, and the Western civilization symbolized by the US is going to join the Soviet Union in near future. A Western thinker said, "The West will decay from within and it will sting itself like a scorpion under the siege of fire. The Noble Quran says in verse 43 of chapter Fatir that the unfaithful are acting arrogantly in the land and devising evil schemes, while evil schemes base only their devisers. The Islamic Revolution is based on three main pillars: Islam, leadership, and people. The Islamic Revolution is based on three main pillars: Islam, leadership, and people. Islam and foundation of the Islamic ruling system was the main motive of the people's struggles and self-sacrifices in the field. This faith in Islam was the main cause of tolerating hardships and tortures. Imam Khomeini would repeatedly emphasize on the nature of the revolution as an Islamic and religious revolution. He kept reminding that the reason for the enemy's hostilities with the Iranian people is the fact that they have gained power thanks to Islam. He said, "The enemies are scared of Islam. They are not scared of me and you. It was Islam which made our youth overcome cannons and tanks and made our nation overcome all powers." After the passing away of Imam Khomeini, his successor, Ayatollah Khamenei, has several times stressed the power of Islam in moving the people and fighting enemies. He says, "The goal of the global arrogance in the face of the Islamic Iran is only Islam, and there is no other issue at all." One of the broadest policies that the enemies of the Islamic Revolution have pursued for the past 44 years has been to suggest that religious system is a violent system. They have made every effort to convince the Iranian audience that religious beliefs are the individual's relation with God and they are quite separate from social affairs and politics. To advance their ostentatious thoughts, the enemies made use of different ways and stratagems, such as promotion of liberalism and unbridled moral freedoms, which are opposite Islam. They even schemed nationalistic concepts like Iran for Iranians to authenticate nationalism vis-a-vis religious nature of the Islamic Revolution. Recently, Muslims were witness to another instances of hostility by the hirelings of the global arrogance to insult the Islamic sanctities and burning the Noble Quran by the head of the extremist rightist party in Sweden, Rasmus Paludan. The Swedish regime and some other Western regimes, under the guise of freedom of expression, have announced their support for such an Islamophobic element. However, the similar bestial events of the recent years have all ended in the benefit of Islam, as there has always been an upsurge in the number of new converts to Islam in European countries. The leader of the Islamic Revolution has always been in the bull's eye of the enemies, as they have realized the role of leadership in all vicissitudes of the revolution. Taking constructive measures and decisive stances, recognition of enemies and intransigence against them are among the most prominent characteristics of both Imam Khomeini and his successor, Ayatollah Khamenei. The American Daily US Today, quoting from the American Enterprise think tank, wrote under the title of "Ayatollah Khamenei, the Greatest Problem of the US," "The greatest problem of the U.S. in Iran is the presence of a super rival called Khamenei, who knows the way and people have trust mixed with belief in him." Thank you. The enemies of the Islamic Revolution and the Iranian people have incessantly schemed designs to harm velayat-e-faqih, or leadership, in the Islamic system. They have concentrated their efforts on forging a contrast between this progressive principle and democracy. The Western thinkers, as the intellectual arm of the despotic rulers, have made every effort for the past centuries and decades to sell the Western type of democracy as the best form of ruling system. As an evident instance, during the recent riots in Iran, the Western hired elements were told by their masters to chant slogans against the leader of the Islamic Revolution as being a dictator. The Western media and their domestic hired elements were fomenting this while, after 2009 presidential election, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Some came to me and, as they knew the elected person, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, asked me not to sign his edict. I told them that I will never do such a thing. If I do not sign this edict, it is as if I have punched in the face of the 24 million people who have voted for him and tell them you have made a mistake to vote this person. I will not do this." For your information, dear listeners, during the presidential election in 2009, the defeated candidate was deceived by enemies and fanned the flames of anarchy in the country in a vain bid to be announced as the victor of the election, although he had gained some 11 million votes less than the president-elect. Thus, if Ayatollah Khamenei had accepted the proposal of protesters and nullified the election, it would mean a clear breach of democracy, even in the Western sense of the word, which is highly flawed in comparison with the religious popular rule whose example in the Islamic Republic of Iran. The smartness and steadfastness of the leader and the people have thwarted all external plots and overcome internal problems. This has frustrated the enemies and made friends and the oppressed nations hopeful. History bears witness that people are one of the axes of formation of religious ruling system. Imam Ali, peace upon him, as the symbol of the perfect man, accepted to rule the Islamic society only after the people's pledge of allegiance with him. The Islamic Republic of Iran, too, was shaped by people's participation. Today, the Islamic Republic owes its might and power to the people's selfless presence in every arena. Dignity, self-esteem, self-belief, and sovereignty of the religious system have been guaranteed by people's pure motive and sincere support. So, it is not astonishing that the enemies have put on top their agenda to disconnect the people from the rulers. They have tried hard to insinuate that religious system is not able to rule in the modern age, and it fails to present solutions for the multifaceted challenge of modern man. The most efficient weapon of the enemies of the Islamic Revolution has been the psychological war, in a bid to intimidate the rulers and people and break the people's willpower, resolve and self-belief, and make them give in to the dictates of the global arrogance and Zionism. Ayatollah Khamenei said on the recent riots in Iran, "The enemy's scheme was comprehensive, but their calculations were wrong. They made a mistake, as the will and resolve of the Islamic Republic was stronger and firmer than all their factors of power." The Iranian people are relying on God's power. God says in verse 201 of chapter A'raf of the Noble Quran, When those who are God-weary are touched by a visitation of Satan, they remember Allah and then they perceive.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sador Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
In this modern day and age, we've seen capitalism, materialism, liberalism, and globalization spread across the world and impose itself on other cultures, led by Western political and economic powers, specifically post-Cold War American capital. As such, modernity, with its goal of institutionalizing a number of evolving principles such as moral autonomy, human rights, civil equality, consumerism, freedom of the market, and secularism, have proven to be a great challenge to various religious traditions and communities, particularly Islam. In the modern secular world, religion should have no influence in the public sphere. As a result of this secularization of society within the Muslim community, we are witnessing a number of shifts in the way people view certain ideas, concepts, values, morals, ethics, and accepted religious tenets and practices. One of those shifts was how the concept of gender found a new meaning in post-revolutionary Iran. After the 1979 victory of the Islamic Revolution, one of the issues that became a hot topic and was seriously paid attention to and discussed domestically and internationally was the issue of women. The Islamic Revolution achieved victory in an environment where various schools of thought, including modern secular ideologies, had promoted their ideas of gender issues and a specific view of women. But the Islamic Republic brought a new perspective to humanity in this matter. The new approach became the reality in the form of activism and day-to-day activity of Iranian Muslim women. Therefore, the third model for women was born, a new model that outlines a new life pattern for women and dismisses the previous models introduced by both Eastern and Western schools of thought. For a closer look at this movement, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. The concept of the third model for women was raised initially on March 6, 2012, by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The leader has said that the first model for women, which emerges from the Eastern school of thought, considers women as an element on the margins of society, playing no active role. The second model concentrates on women according to Western viewpoint, which considers woman as a creature based on her gender, not humanity. Based on this ideology, women are treated as a commodity for the pleasure of men or a means at the service of capitalism. However, the third model considers women as the constituents of the revolution, who are neither inclined toward East nor West.
How do you describe the woman's role and their situation in society currently after the revolution?
One of the basic strategies of the Islamic Revolution and the discourse of the Islamic Revolution on the issue of women is the revival of identity and the recognition of women's female identity. What was going on before the revolution following the degenerate Western culture was that women had lost their identity even as a human being. The fact that the woman is a human being and has will, decision, and authority and freedom. That a woman has an identity along with the identity of being a mother, being a wife, and being a comforter for the family. But this view of women was changing according to the Western culture in the Pahlavi regime. History has it that the Pahlavi regime had suggested that if a woman wanted to be a human being, she had to be Western from head to toe.
Islam regards women as dignified human beings. Men and women share the same characteristics in that sense. A human is a human before being a man or a woman. People are equal as far as human nature is concerned. This is the Islamic view. God has bestowed certain physical traits on men and women. Both men and women play a role in creation, in the growth and transcendence of humanity, and in the course of history. But the role of women is more important than that of men, according to Islamic scholars.
For example, we have a female researcher who has been doing research for more than 40 years with her husband in a peaceful life with four children. She's a successful mother, a successful wife, and a successful researcher. Or we also have female athletes in different departments who hug and breastfeed their children on the side of the sports field. Anyway, my emphasis is on their identity, and that identity that has been lost in the West, and today the Muslim woman is giving it as a gift to the whole world. This sense of being a mother, a sense of being a wife, a sense of comfort to the family is a part of the Iranian woman's identity, and this is what she is giving to the world.
The most important duty of humanity is to help the reproduction cycle. In this regard, the role of women is incomparable to the role of men. The West, which has strayed from the righteous path, calls these things limitations, while they treat women as a commodity and label it woman's freedom. These are among the plots that the West has carried out regarding human rights issues.
In the Western culture, woman actually stands in an inferior place and is looked upon as an object or a tool. During the Industrial Revolution, the domineering view towards woman was very unpleasant because the Western woman was devoid of her own identity. No property was registered in her name, and even after she got married, she still had no rights. her last name changed to his husband's last name. If you read Joan of France's famous letter under the name A Letter from a Christian to Muslim Women, in that letter she clearly says that we Western women no longer have an identity. The American woman is not the woman that Hollywood shows. That reality of an American woman is me, who always has to go to sleep by sleeping pills. And in fact, I have no support.
In relation to Western plots, some activists from the Iranian Muslim Woman Movement have made a noteworthy statement recently saying, those who are responsible for killing countless women and children in Yemen, Afghanistan, and Iraq cannot tell us about woman life and freedom, of course.
If women do not take part in a social movement of a nation, that movement will not gain any results and it will not succeed. If they do, however, decide to participate in a movement with awareness and insight, that movement will accelerate. In the great waves of Islamic awakening in history, women have played an unparalleled role, and it is necessary for them to continue playing this role.
In the past, we have clearly witnessed the significant role women played during the time Iranians were fighting the Pahlavi oppression in Iran and after the victory of the Islamic Revolution. If they had not fought in the battlefields during the 8-year Iraq War, which was imposed on us, the country would not have achieved victory during those difficult times.
In many of the issues raised by Imam Khomeini, the roles of women and men are seen side by side. He says that all these disturbances that exist, men and women should work together to solve them. And therefore, I want to tell you that the approach of the revolution to the women's issue was that women should come and take part and play a role in the destiny of the country. The record of the Islamic Republic itself is very clear in this matter. The achievements of the Islamic Revolution in the field of women's education, the role that women play in the international arena, such as sports and other arenas, such as politics and foreign affairs, show that the Islamic Republic, according to Imam's approach, was concerned about including women. The Islamic Republic does not consider only the role of family and housework for women. It considers women as a social element that, according to its social responsibility, should play her role.
Indeed, our women helped us achieve victory time and again. The mothers and wives of the martyrs and war veterans created a feeling with their patients in which our youth and men were encouraged to have a determined presence. And this positive feeling spread to every part of the country. As a result, the general atmosphere of the country was filled with selflessness and self-sacrifice, and we achieved victory.
You see, in the debates that the Imam had in the field of women at the beginning of the revolution, many clerics may have not agreed with him, but this approach was changed by Imam's view. In fact, he changed this paradigm that women are important. The role of women in the civil society is important, and that the presence of women in the community does not have the objectification effect, and she can play her role effectively.
After the Islamic Revolution, we have issued at least 200 laws to protect women, which is perhaps unique in the world. We have the Supreme Family Council, which is chaired by the president and has a legal basis, and in which the president has the duty to pay attention to the issues and problems of the family, including the mother or the wife of the family. Therefore, there are many protection laws for women. Recently, the law on protection of women and protection of women's safety is actually being reviewed in the parliament and is going through the final stages of approval. For example, if there is no light on a street and the darkness may endanger women's safety, the municipality is obliged to immediately install lights on that street to eliminate the possibility of danger for women.
Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Republic, understood the importance of the role that women could play. Otherwise, there were certain luminaries among our religious scholars who had to be convinced it was necessary to let women take part in the demonstrations. They used to say that women should not take part in the demonstrations. This is the case today in the world of Islam, in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Libya, in Bahrain, in Yemen, and in every other place. If women strengthen and continue their presence on the front lines, they achieve victories one after another. There is no doubt in this regard. In any case, the role of women is a unique role, and Muslim women must stay present on the national scene. This is necessary for the future of Ummah.
I believe that nowhere in the world girls and women are as much free as in Iran to participate in social activities. You see women in parliament, in managerial positions, and on the streets and parks. Even in order for women to be more free and comfortable, they have built women-only parks that are unique in the world.
We must make efforts regarding the issue of women and try to preserve the potential that exists within our societies in this regard. This is why we must actively discuss the issue of women and their significance in our present societies.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Here's how it looks on the page. According to Tasnim News, Iran's women's ice hockey victorious over UAE at Kazan Cup. Iranian women's ice hockey team defeated the UAE 4-0 at the Russia the Islamic World Kazan Summit 2022 tournament on Sunday. The Iranian women's team had lost to Tatarstan 4-1 in its opening match. Team Melli Banuan will play Bahrain in its next match. The international event is being held in Kazan, the capital of Tatarstan, from January 13 to 18. The tournament has brought 12 men's and 5 women's teams together in two arenas, the Sports Palace and Tatneft Arena. The decision to hold the competition was made within the framework of the International Russia the Islamic World Kazan Summit 2022. More than 300 hockey players from 14 Islamic states are taking part in the tournament. IFP News reads, how two Iranian women reached the peak of Mount Everest. Over the past years, many Iranian mountain climbers have successfully reached the top of Mount Everest, which sits in the Himalayan heights. But prior to May 2022, no Iranian woman had managed to get to the peak of the world's highest mountain. Afsaneh Hesami Fard, originally from Iran's North Khorasan province, finished climbing to the top on Saturday, May 14th. She went to Damavand on April 6th and joined a week-long training camp there before setting out for Everest. Ilham Ramezani is a former member of Iran's national squash team. She is known as the second Iranian woman who has succeeded in reaching the peak of Mount Everest this year. She announced via social media that she had reached the finish spot at 9 a.m. on May 15th. Iran Press reads, Women of Influence exhibits Iranian achievements. The exhibition was held simultaneously with the first International Congress for Women of Influence, which kicked off on January 20, 2023. The first International Congress for Women of Influence was held in Tehran on Friday with female guests, including wives of heads of state, ministers, vice presidents, and parliamentarians from Burkina Faso, Kyrgyzstan, Serbia, Guinea, Niger, Nigeria, Sri Lanka, Syria, Turkmenistan, and Armenia. Iranian exhibitions showcase the latest achievements of successful Iranian women entrepreneurs and active in various fields like electricity, electronics, medical equipment, technology, innovation centers, and homemade products. Today, one of the greatest problems of the Western world is the breakup of the family environment and an increase in the number of orphan children. The West is suffering from the consequences of neglecting family values and will suffer more, according to sociopolitical analysts. These social developments have built up over time, and the West appears to be harmed greatly by this problem. This flashy, materialistic civilization will certainly collapse along these social fault lines if it continues to ignore the basic and fundamental values of humanity.
We believe that families are similar to a community, a small society that has rules, and these rules are necessary for it to survive. One of these rules is that the family members should care about each other. It's not like anyone can do whatever they want. Societies won't work like this. Can anyone do whatever they want in a society? No. The law imposes restrictions, and this is very natural. Therefore, the wife must ask permission from her husband to go out or go abroad. This is exactly the internal harmony within a small community, and this shows that family members care about each other.
Islamic scholars believe that Western countries have to be condemned when it comes to the status and situation of women. They describe Western women as being alienated in their societies, while pointing out that the Western capitalism is a patriarchal system, criticizing it for allegedly giving people's capital and financial assets more value than humanity. Also, criticizing it for letting men make more money than their women counterparts in the work environment. Meanwhile, the top Islamic leaders in Iran believe that the employment of efficient, experienced, knowledgeable, and wise women in the country's decision-making arenas is of high importance. They believe that the revolutionary process has made a significant effort to see a strong role played by Iranian women in various sectors of the society. In light of these efforts for women's active presence in the society, today the absolute and relative number of female researchers, professors, scientists, intellectuals who work in different areas as experts, poets and artists such as fiction writers and painters, etc., is far greater than the number of such women during the time of Pahlavi regime. In that regard, what is published against Iranian women in foreign media is not based on facts. In the recent hybrid warfare against the Islamic Republic, much effort was spent to portray the woman's status in Iran as inferior, completely ignoring the accomplishments of women in the past 44 years of the Islamic Republic.
I'm serving you as a representative of people. Expressing demands is a public right. Every Iranian citizen has the right to express his or her demands, and the Constitution provides this opportunity. The form of our parliament and our city councils is in such a way that, because they receive votes directly from the people, they have direct interaction and communication with the people, and that they actually listen to the demands of the people. This is the basic approach that I usually see my colleagues have. They are serious about this matter, and I know that this approach exists in city councils and similar institutions. I think that listening and talking and communicating and seeing women's demands definitely helps to improve the status of women's society.
Today in the Islamic Republic, there are many female figures in different areas such as science and academia, politics, culture, sports and arts who wear the hijab in the form of chador or headscarves. And their accomplishments and progress is an indication that observing the Islamic dress code is by no means an obstacle for them to reach their full potential. In the Islamic and divine view of a woman, she possesses so much beauty, tenderness, and loving warmth that she can push both herself and the people around her, whether in the household or any other environment, towards spirituality, progress, and highest levels of science and pragmatism. Today, our educated women are the most pious and revolutionary people in our country. Today, our educated young women are active in the most advanced laboratories and scientific and scholarly centers. Our pious and revolutionary youth are among the most active women in political, scientific, and managerial areas. They think critically and understand cultural resistance in the face of Westernization.
The family's trust in Islam or the Islamic Republic also made them send girls to schools. Literacy should be considered as an important issue for our women and girls. We had a high rate of literacy growth after the revolution. And alhamdulillah, now literacy and higher university and supplementary education for women are among the indicators brought by the Islamic Republic. The traditional community felt that the path that the revolution is following in the field of women issues are compatible with the values and norms of the Iranian society. And for this reason, the traditional society also supported all the concerns that the Imam had regarding the presence of women in the society.
Furthermore, when we take a look, we see that the name of our woman have been written on many books, including scientific, research-based, historical, literature, political, and artistic books. The writings of our woman, whether articles or books, are among the best writings in the Islamic Republic today. This is really a source of honor and pride, and it is unprecedented in our history.
You see, before the Islamic Revolution, we didn't have a handful of writers at that time, but today we have more than 14,000 writers at the national and international level. There are thousands and thousands of volumes of books written by women, books that have been republished for even 120 to 140 times. This actually tells about the manifestation of the spirit of freedom of Iranian women. Or let me say, in the academic field, before the Islamic Revolution, we didn't have even 1% of university faculty members. Today, more than 40% of our faculty members are women, and they are cultured, thoughtful, and educated. Before the revolution, our women's sports fields were very, very limited, and maybe only one or two fields were open for women, and they had to be trained by men coaches. Today, we have more than 48,000 female coaches for various sports fields. And anyway, the world is seeing Iran's dear girls and women shine on the championship and medal-winning platforms.
Iranian women have also proven they can contribute greatly to the advancement of sciences, as 345 female researchers are on the highly cited researchers list of the world. They have also played their role in the scientific authority of Iran, and in the list of 2,795 Iranian highly cited researchers, which includes researchers in the top 0.1%, top 1%, and top 2%, there are 345 Iranian women scientists. In addition, there are so many examples of successful Iranian female athletes who have stolen the international scene over the past years, including para-archer Zahra Nemati. She took up archery in 2006 and has since become one of the most decorated and most influential para-archers of all time. Nemati has won 3 Paralympic gold medals, 1 silver and 1 bronze. Parashooter Sare Javanmardi also is one of the most decorated Iranian athletes. Known as World Pistol Queen, Javanmardi has claimed 3 gold medals and 1 bronze in the Paralympics. In the 2018 Asian Games, the women's kabaddi team won the title for the first time ever, beating the giants of kabaddi India in the final match.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Bye for now.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. Here again we are with you in another Quranic session. Brother Fawad Haider is here, Brother Hassan Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and Ali Nasir, students of Xavier International School. So, we are here with you with another Quranic session. Welcome everyone. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking about Ayah 272 of Surah Al-Baqarah on page 46, okay? Brothers and sisters, please, as you're listening to us, if you have your Quran, hold your Quran, turn to page 46. Ayah 272 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, we all will be listening to the recitation first.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Laysa 'alayka hudahum walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ.
All right, now I will be reciting, you will be repeating. All right?
Yes.
Our brothers and sisters also will repeat, will practice with us. Yes. Uh-huh. They will say, yeah, they are saying yes. We'll do so. Of course, they say. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ليس عليك هداهم ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء.
ليس عليك هداهم ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء.
وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ
وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ
وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ
وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ
وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ
وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ.
أحسنتم. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is not up to you to guide them. It means you're not forced to guide them. If you, like Allah Almighty says the Prophet, okay, you guide them. If they do not want this, okay, do not, for example, annoy yourself. Do not, for example, hurt yourself, okay, in order to guide them. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَن يَشَاءُ. Instead, rather, it is Allah who guides whomever He wishes. Allah Almighty guides whoever deserves to be guided, okay? Whoever deserves guidance, Allah Almighty will guide them, all right? It depends on our situation, the way we are, okay? If we believe in Allah Almighty, if we deserve to be to receive guidance, of course we'll be guided, okay? But if not, yes, that's clear. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And whatever wealth you spend, or whatever charity you give, فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ, it is for your own benefit. Okay? It's for your own benefit. Allah doesn't need it, but you need it. You need it for the Day of judgment. Because Allah Almighty has set a lot of thawab for someone who donates. And if the intention is for Allah Almighty. Next one. وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And you do not spend, it means don't donate, okay? Except for the sake of Allah Almighty. Do not spend but to seek Allah Almighty's pleasure. Okay? وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. And whatever wealth, whatever charity you give, whatever wealth you spend, يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, will be repaid to you. Okay? Will be repaid to you in full. Completely, you will get it back. Allah Almighty will give you in return the best things better than whatever you spent, okay? وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ, and you will not be wronged. A lot of people might think, what if, even if I give this to charity, I will not get anything, okay? I will not get anything in return. We shouldn't think this way, yes? We all know that Allah Almighty will give you in return.
Yes.
If not in this world, for sure in the Day of Judgment. You give 10,000 toman, it's nothing for you. It's something very simple. Not too much. But whatever Allah Almighty wants to give you in return, that is too much.
Yes.
That can save you from the hellfire. Right?
Yes.
In the previous ayah, we said, وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, and it will compensate, it will wash out some of your bad deeds. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, good deeds, good actions, will wash out the bad actions. Okay? Charity has such kind of function.
Result.
Yeah? Result. Effect. It gives you, yeah, such an impact, such a good impact it has. So, make sure, inshallah, whatever you do, give charity, for example, you should have the intention to seek the pleasure of Allah Almighty. And don't think that it will not be given to you back, okay? In return, Allah Almighty will give you a lot more.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
آيات الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني.
So, brothers and sisters, so many important points are here to mention, but since we don't have much time for the explanation, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, okay? And you will learn a lot about it. We'll move on with the tajweed rules, important tajweed rules we'll mention, inshallah. Please, if you are able to take notes, do so and practice. Ali Nasir, Hussein, Hassan, Fawad. Let's go to the tajweed rules. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. Make sure you produce an A sound correctly and also the A sound correctly. With heavy letters, A sound. With light letters, A sound. Heavy letters are like خَا, رَا, صَاد, ضَاد, طَا, ظَا, غَيْن, and قَاف. So whenever they have an alif with them, a fatha with an alif mat, so you have to produce an aw sound. Kha, ra, da, sa, ta, da, gha, qa, right? But the rest of the letters produce an a sound. Laysa alayka hudahum. Don't say hudahum, right? Laysa alayka hudahum. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Don't say يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Right? Some people recite it like a Persian reading. Don't do so. Okay? It's different. So, هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ. There is an exceptional rule with the letter Ra and the letter Lam. Yes? The letter Lam in the word Allah and Allahumma. Right? You listening, brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Good job. Brothers and sisters, I didn't say you. Brothers and sisters. Yes, they are listening, of course, okay? It's Quranic session now. The letter Lam in the word Allah and Allahumma must be pronounced heavily with an A sound in case we have a Fatha sound or a Dhamma sound before the word. Right? وَلَكِنَّا. We have a fatha, Allah. So the lam in this word, the word Allah, will be pronounced with an A sound. Walakin, read it, Hussein.
وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ
أحسن. Heavy sound with full mouth. So, يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. The noon is gone. Why?
إِدْغَام.
إِدْغَام. Yeah, the rule إِدْغَام is applied here. مَنْ يَشَاءَ. You merge, you join the meme to yeah. Actually, noon will be sacrificed, kind of. Yeah, it's merged. مَنْ يَشَاءَ. And also the nasal sound. Don't forget it, Hussein. All right, Ali Nasser, read it. For two counts. Yeah, may for two counts. Go on.
Yes. May yasha.
Ahsantum. May yasha. Qila tells you it's better to stop here. Wama tunfiqu. We have mentioned it a lot in the previous ayahs, ayat, okay? Wama tunfiqu ikhfa min khayrin idhar. Clearly read the noon. Min khayrin. And again, rin, tanween, plus fa. We have mentioned it a lot. Ikhfa.
Ikhfa.
Yeah, ikhfa. Hide the sound. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Right? أَنفُسِكُمْ. Again, ikhfa. وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ. Again, ikhfa. إِلَّا أَبْتِغَى. إِلَّا أَبْتِغَى. Skip the A sound. إِلَّا.
Yes.
Yes, on ba you have to produce an echoing sound. Illa btigha wajhillah qalqala. And yes. So, wama tunfiqu min khayrin idgham yuwaffa ilaykum wa antum la tuzlamun. Again, wa antum ikhfa. So, we mentioned the important tajweed rules. It's you who should practice, okay? Practice them well, inshallah, to recite a very nice recitation with tajweed rules. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we will be here again with you in the coming sessions. Stay with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International School for cooperations. Thanks to Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir for being with us in this session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. See you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.